It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 97% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
This is a week where a lot's going on. We were trying to figure out what the topic is.
There's no central topic.
Well, there was just like seven things that happened this week, and I think we can get to each one of them, so this will be...
It's great, because like some weeks we're just kind of like winging this show. I don't know if you guys can tell.
But it's most like, weeks.
Some week we'll just be like, we got nothing to talk about, and then we stumble our way through.
Chances are, if there's not a third person in the room, we are winging it.
Yeah. But like, this week was kind of full up. I thought like, the entire episode we can talk about that the DC wants Joss Whedon to do a Batgirl movie.
Yeah, that was the big news this
week.
That was
like the big one. And I guess I was talking to Lisa and Tina about it this morning because they're obviously very excited. They're basing this movie, I guess, off Gail Simone's New 52 run.
Yeah, in fact, Gail Simone posted that herself on Twitter.
Yes, but she was saying that she won't be involved at all.
Yeah, well, DC's not that great about bringing people in. They're good about cutting checks. So, like, she'll get paid, but other than Geoff Johns, none of them are really involved in it.
Right. Which is frustrating. I mean, even, you know, say what you will about Quesada and Bendis, and I often do. Those guys are at least in the room when Marvel was making big movie push ideas.
Right.
I don't think they're in the room anymore, but to get it started.
Yeah, they don't need to be because they're 13 hits in. Kevin Feige knows what he's doing.
He knows. Exactly. Kevin Feige could probably teach the Marvel editorial staff a thing or two about continuity and getting their shit together.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about Joss Whedon doing Batgirl, first of all, he said when he quit Marvel after Avengers, he was going to work on his own properties, and people were like, is he going to bring Firefly back? Is he going to do Dr.
Yeah.
Horrible 2? And then, so it's a little odd that he announces a DC movie. This is also, it's not entirely confirmed, but it was in Variety. Which it was in the Hollywood papers and not in the Geek News.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty solid.
So you're saying this isn't like some rumor that
this didn't come from like Bleeding Cool or, you know,
yeah,
or even Ain't It Cool News.
More
like
reputable reporting or whatever you call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So like I think contracts are being signed.
Wow.
It's perfect for Whedon because he's great at young female characters. Of course, it once again extends the life of DC movies of making people like me going, well, maybe this will be the good one. Because we got a Justice League trailer this week that didn't excite me.
Yeah, it's, you know, with the Justice League trailer, it's like, the trailer looks good. The problem with these movies is that it's still Snyder. The trailers always look good.
I disagree. I didn't think this trailer looked good.
Well, go back and listen to the Man of Steel trailer podcast. I was very excited for that movie. I thought that trailer was phenomenal.
That trailer made it look like it was Christopher Nolan's because they pushed his name as the producer and they made it look like Batman Begins.
Right. And I think they're basically hedging all their bets on Snyder, and you know, we can go in again of how terrible I think that dude is. But there's no meat and potatoes. It's all just a bunch of really cool images. Oh, look, the Justice League. It's like it's the same like when Batman versus Superman. When Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman went on the screen for the first time, I was like super happy. But that was the only time I was happy during that entire movie. Mm-hmm. And it was like I mistaken wanting to see those characters with just, here they are, just accept it, whatever form it is. And then the more you think about it, you're like, well, I don't have a problem with the casting of any of those characters, but none of them are being handled, I think, correctly.
Right, that was my problem with Justice League trailer, was when I saw it, I felt like it was edited to try to look like Avengers. Like, they pulled any joke they could find, and then they put the white stripes over it, like they put rock music, and it was like, yeah, you're trying to make these guys look like they're Tony Stark and Thor and Cap.
Yeah.
But the way it looked, it just looked like two more hours of Batman vs. Superman with a few more characters in it.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, is like, you know, the Wonder Woman trailer I still think looks good. I really, really want that movie to be good. I think she's...
Yeah, there's bad buzz around it, but the buzz is bad, but it does look good.
But it looks good, and... You know, there's no incentive for me for these movies to suck. I need these movies to do good. You could argue that part of my business rests on these movies doing good. And it's just a shame because it just seems like they can't figure this shit out. And it's like, we always go back to, or I always go back to, it's like, it's these guys that just have no idea what they're doing. It's well, just like they're completely lost.
That's a perfect segue back to Joss Whedon, because this is the guy who's made... two Avengers and created Buffy. He seems like the perfect response,
right?
But it reminded me, the first thing it hit me, this is like DC in the 70s, where in the 60s they could not figure out how to match Marvel in terms of quality and in terms of sales. They were still doing what they were doing in the 50s.
Yeah, we've
while
talked,
Stan and Jack were creating everything.
Maybe we haven't said this on the podcast, but I've talked about it at the store before. Maybe we did talk about this on the show, is you and me have flipped open issues of Fantastic Four from the 1965. Mm-hmm. And then we looked in your Justice League hardcover and saw the archives for what DC was doing at the same month and the same year. And it's like, it's hard to describe how different it is. It would be like the equivalent of like DC putting out books that look like the 90s now and Marvel doing the books that are coming out now.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying the books are comparable to what they were in the 60s, but that's how far removed DC was from what Marvel was doing. The Avengers or the Fantastic Four were like fighting Galactus, which was essentially God. And, you know, the Super Friends or whatever, the Justice League
were like... They were basically the Super Friends.
They were basically the Super Friends. They were getting their heads all turned into ant heads.
Right.
You know, when Batman was dressed as a zebra. You know, it's right. Like, it's this really dumb shit that these guys, like, they couldn't figure it out.
But the way DC got out of that was to start hiring Marvel guys. They started hiring Neil Adams and Roy Thomas and Len Wein and Marv Wolfman and Denny O'Neill. And then that's what... And then at that point in the early 70s, DC books are great.
Yeah.
And that's about the time where Marvel books start to slow down.
That's as far back as you can read Green Lantern and have it be good, is Denny O'Neill's and Neil Adams.
Right.
Gil Kane is a great artist and drew great issues of Green Lantern and arguably created one of the coolest
Gil Kane
costumes.
Left Green Lantern and went to Spider-Man.
Right. But I'm saying it's just like those books aren't readable in the 60s, DC,
no.
And I know there's a lot of people that really like that stuff. There's people that like the Legion, and, you know, that's, let's just agree to call what it is. That's 100% nostalgia. That's like when I say I like the Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick. It's just like, I'll grant you most of that's nostalgia, you know? But it's like, and it seems like with the movies, it's like they're still making that far apart.
Like,
they're still making superhero movies on like the X-Men model. You know, where it's like they're darker costumes.
They're serious.
They're very serious. They can't quite figure out the jokes. They're very formulaic.
Yep.
You know, it's Marvel's getting a little into the... Marvel's having a harder time now, I think, breaking formula. But it's like you still see them making efforts to.
Right.
You know, every movie they do...
Yeah, Marvel Studios has not made a movie that breaks the mold like Logan yet.
Right. Yeah, they've all been pretty much remakes of Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Thank God Iron Man 1 was good, but it's like, you know, a lot of the sequels have been bombs. They don't really know what they're doing with Thor. They can't figure out the Hulk. You know, Captain America's probably the luckiest.
I wouldn't say anything they've done is bombed. It's just matter of success. Yeah, you know, like Avengers
make... They still make movie money, but they don't make as much money as they...
Right, as their big ones.
Right.
But, so I feel like that analogy is happening now in the movies, is that DC's like, all right, we don't know what we're doing, we can't do it, get the guy who made Avengers and have him make one of our characters, and that'll fix everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it will. It depends. I mean, Joss Whedon made a great Avengers movie, collaborating with Marvel, and then he made an Avengers movie that wasn't so good fighting with Marvel.
Yeah.
So I am interested in seeing a Joss Whedon Batgirl movie. Who knows at the point it's made, who knows if it'll even fit into this universe anymore?
Yeah.
They might abandon the whole universe idea. They said the movie's going to be standalone, which means it won't be a sequel to like Ben Affleck's Batman movie, but it also might be like what DC's doing on television. Like, Gotham cannot connect to Flash in any way.
Right.
It's possible this movie could be that.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said, it's a little early to tell. I think it's a good Everything sounds right about it off the bat. Is that all right? It's Joss Whedon. It's, I mean, they might have even said, "Hey, Joss, pick a character."
Right.
Maybe they wanted him to work on Batgirl. Maybe they went after him specifically for Batgirl. But maybe he was like, they said, "Here's the list of characters for movies. Pick one." And he was like, "Well, okay, I'll take Batgirl because right. that's his like playing to his strengths or whatever."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe they wanted him to do the second Justice League.
Yeah.
And he was like, I did two Avengers. I'm not doing that.
Right.
So that was the big news. And then, as we already mentioned, part of the news on that was the Justice League trailer. The other big trailer was Spider-Man.
Yeah, I saw all the movie posters first. I don't know if they were released first. Where it's they like were him released hanging like on like before, the sign for Queens, him hanging on the sign for the Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
Those were neat. The trailer, I wasn't like thrilled. I felt like they just showed the entire movie in that trailer. I could tell you exactly.
They show you a lot.
But, so much.
But I loved everything they showed me, and I was like, I don't care. Like, they show so much that it was very easy to go, okay, that's the third act.
Right. That's the first act. I hate stuff like that.
That's where the turn's gonna be. But everything they showed felt so right.
Did you, I read the synopsis for this movie. It's up. Like what the movie's about. So Michael Keaton.
Is it about the trailer?
I think this was maybe before the trailer, but it's basically like once you read this and see the trailer, it's like you have the entire framework for this movie. The Tinkerer is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Shocker is in the movie, and Vulture's in the movie.
Right. Michael Keaton's the Vulture.
Michael Keaton's the Vulture. And so he's the nickname the Vulture is because he goes to the sites of like Marvel Universe events, like the Sitari invasion in New York. And he, like, scraps the parts.
Yeah.
He, like, steals the technology. He gives them to the Tinkerer, and then the Tinkerer turns them into weapons. And, like, the Shocker's, like, one of his goons.
And so a lot of it's old Stark tech.
Which I think is amazing. That's a great concept to explain Knuckleheads, like, the Shocker and the Vulture to people. It's like, look, these guys are basically trying to, they're reverse engineering Sitari alien technology and Iron Man armors. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more interested to see if what they're going to do as far as flashbacks of where they're going to show these guys digging around. Everything I saw in the trailer I liked. It's just I saw more than I wanted to see.
There was a shot in the beginning of the trailer when he's web swinging, and he web swings past a subway station, like an L station, and the bridge is in the background.
Yeah.
That's my house for about 7 years.
Yeah.
That was my subway
station.
That's
awesome.
And it's great because I grew up in Queens, and I lived in Queens most of my life till I moved out here to Chicago, and it seems like just about every Spider-Man movie is somewhere in my house. Like,
yeah.
When they shot the first Spider-Man, I think I mentioned this, the scene where he first tests his webs, you know, fly web.
Yeah.
I saw them shoot that because it was two blocks away from my house.
That's awesome.
When he goes across the street, like the wide shot across the street was my street.
Yeah.
And then he runs by like my other apartment where I lived a couple of years later.
Yeah.
And now this movie, he's like swinging. So It makes me extra happy because he's just, it makes me feel Spider-Man's more real. Because look, he's going past my house. That's not going to happen now. I'm in the Chicago suburbs.
Right. Yeah. No, they're not going to film over here in LaGrange.
No, unless they do a full Kitty Pryde origin.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I keep forgetting she's from Chicago.
She's from the Chicago suburbs.
That was like they did it in The Dark Knight, where it's like the entire movie. I'm like, look, I drove there. Oh, I got a coffee there one time.
Yeah, I had the opposite because I moved here in 2010. And when I was exploring the city, I was like, oh, that's The Dark Knight. Oh,
yeah.
That's The Dark Knight. That's The Dark Knight. And then when they made Dark Knight Rises, I was like, great, I'll be here for that. And then they shot it in Pittsburgh.
That's awesome.
But I loved this trailer. I understand why people like, that's too much, because it was story-focused.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mind trailers that have cool action bits or whippy dialogue or whatever, but it's like when you're giving away, like, story elements, it's just like...
Yeah, I think the point of this trailer... First of all, it's the second trailer.
Yeah.
And second of all, I think what the point of this was to tell casual audiences... This is not part of those Spider-Man movies you didn't like. This is part of Avengers.
Look, so Iron Man.
Yeah, a lot of Iron Man, and like him pointing at Captain America, and I think dividing.
And then, he's like watching the YouTube fight video from the airport from Civil War in his classroom, and it's like.
And then I think it's also like, look, Michael Keaton is the villain in this, which is, that's a coup. Not only. not only was he Batman, which, you know, on a geek level, is amazing that you get Batman to be a Marvel villain.
And not even, like, he's not playing Doctor Doom. He's playing the fucking Vulture. He's playing, like...
But he'll be the main villain in
I know he's the main villain, but it's like, we got the same guy that played Batman as playing the Vulture, like, 30 years later or whatever. It's
amazing. And so I think it's really to get the casual audience notice, look, this is way better than the last one you saw, which wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And then the other thing on top of that is Sony announced a Venom movie is back on, but it's not going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And okay, it's like this is where Sony, I think, is really going to get their nuts in a twist. Because I think they're going to try to do a Venom movie, and they're going to think, oh, it's Venom. He's really popular. It's going to do really well. When you take Spider-Man away from that...
Well, that's the thing. When they say it's not a Marvel Cinematic movie, what they're saying, what they said explicitly is Kevin Feige is not working on this.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's Venom without Spider-Man, which I agree, makes no sense. Like, right. The story of Venom is that he's a guy that hated Spider-Man, that got Spider-Man's costume so he can mimic Spider-Man's powers.
Yeah.
He's like, he's nothing but a spinoff of Spider-Man.
It would be like making a Joker movie without Batman.
It would be like making a Sabretooth movie without Wolverine.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
We actually made a Joker movie without Batman. It was Suicide Squad.
Batman was in it, at least.
Yeah, but he was fighting Deadshot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, he jumped on Joker's car.
Yeah, he jumped on his car, and they drove it into the river, and then somehow everyone lived.
Oh, boy.
I actually like that movie.
You need to watch it again.
Maybe I need to rewatch it. I did only see it one time. I don't know. With the Venom movie, I just think it's like, this is Sony trying to be like, oh, we can still make superhero movies. And it's like, this movie's going to bomb.
Yeah, well, from what I've heard is there were a lot of arguments between Marvel and Sony on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So not only because of creative control, but of course, but because of costs, because, you know, there's been plenty of stories about Ike Perlmutter, who has a hard name to say. He's a billionaire. He's the guy that bought Marvel when they were going under in the 90s. And he's the one that's caused all these problems. He's the one that has chased off people like Jon Favreau and Joss Whedon. He doesn't want to pay anybody. So people make $1 billion for Marvel. They come back. They want a raise. He doesn't want to give it to him. He's been trying to get rid of Robert Downey Jr. for years.
Yeah. And I don't know what that guy is thinking.
No.
And then you just
And there was
how...
a big split last year about...
Chris Evans, right?
No, about Kevin Feige splitting Marvel off...
The studios off Marvel's, from the comic company.
And it was all about getting away from Ike Perlmutter.
Yeah.
So apparently the problem is Ike Perlmutter is being a jerk to Sony as well. Like, I read an article that Gwyneth Paltrow is in Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Probably for 2 seconds, like she was in Avengers.
Sure.
But Sony had to pay her because Marvel wouldn't. Jesus. It's like little things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what Gwyneth Paltrow was asking for.
Sure, yeah.
But... you know, like Natalie Portman's not making any Marvel movies
anymore. She's done. She's not even going to be in the next Thor. Her contract's up.
They don't want to pay her anymore.
Yeah.
And the next Thor looks like it doesn't take place on Earth at all.
Well, they said the part of the premise of that movie is Loki and Thor team up with Doctor Strange to find Odin, who's lost on Earth without his memory, because that's where Loki put him.
Oh, so he is on Earth. And then there's Hulk.
And then they're going to go to the space and fight Hulk and hang out with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Which
is really in the movie. That's all the movie is for you.
Yeah,
is a bunch of guys going to meet Jeff Goldblum
in space.
Yes. Look, there's a Hulk and a Thor. This is wonderful.
Let them fight.
Who would like some tea?
So I looked on IMDb. So Avengers Infinity War is next year.
Yeah.
The budget for that movie, is $1 billion
to make the movie.
Half of that money, $500 million, just goes to the crew.
Wow.
The cast and the crew combined.
Well,
they are not fucking around.
No,
with
they're
that
shooting
movie.
It out. And it's everybody. Like
they said, like 64 major players in that movie.
Yeah, like people are asking why the Netflix characters
Defenders
aren't
are
in
not
it.
In
and
it.
It's just like, where are you going to put them? And let's be...
I don't want Luke Cage to fight Thanos.
Yeah,
let's
be honest. Like, what is Daredevil going to do to Thanos?
Yeah.
They're not in the Infinity Gauntlet comic for that reason.
Right. And it's just like, you know, Daredevil works in New York. He works in Japan. I'll give you San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You can move him around on Earth. You put Daredevil in space. Let's forget that this guy's superpowers are like a radar. There's nothing for sound to bounce off
there's
of
no sound.
When there's no sound. So it's like Daredevil can't be in space. He cannot... His superpowers don't work in space.
I don't think there's ever been a Daredevil in space story in the 600 issues of Daredevil.
And there should never be.
No. But
you can put Luke Cage in space. I'll give it to you. You can put Luke Cage in space and do a story, but it's not going to happen with Daredevil.
Yeah, but imagine how hard it was to get that budget approved by Ike Perlmutter.
Oh, my God.
Wait, $1 billion? That's what I have.
Right.
But, yeah, so apparently they're being hard-assed with Sony, and Sony's like, all right, look, we know we're going to make more money by working with you, but...
It's not a good collaboration they're having.
But you know what? Tom Holland is signed for 6 Marvel movies, which is a Spider-Man trilogy that is made with Marvel.
Did the Captain America Civil War count as
that
one?
That counts in the 2 Avengers.
Okay.
So that's what Tom Holland is doing. But that doesn't say that Tom Holland can't be in Venom.
And it doesn't say that they can't re-up his contract, too. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And that's just his contract for Marvel. If Sony makes movies that are not Marvel, then Spider-Man can be in those. There's talk of a Black Cat, Silver Sable team-up movie.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think what Sony's going to end up doing is doing like a bunch of B and C and D-list Spider-Man characters.
With Spider-Man popping in them.
With him popping up in them. Because I think Marvel isn't going to want them to do their own Spider-Man movies. Because it'll confuse audiences that want it to line up, and we'll be like, does it line it up? Doesn't it line up? Is Iron Man going to be in it? Isn't going to be in it?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's very clear when it's a Marvel movie. And you know, the X-Men don't exist, you know?
Right.
It's like, I never get confused by that.
And that's fine because, I mean, that's the way the books work every month. The X-Men rarely run into anyone who's not a mutant
right.
in their books. It's like, when Spider-Man shows up, it's kind of a big deal. It can happen whenever they want. But they don't want it to happen that often.
Right.
So I can assume that those 9 X-Men movies take place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the Avengers never showed up. That's fine. As much fun as it would be to have Hugh Jackman in Avengers or in Spider-Man or in Deadpool, now that he's supposedly retired, that's not going to happen.
Did you see
But I don't need everything to cross over, as long as they're good.
Yeah, I think that's my big thing is like, you know, for like Infinity War is a great example. Like we said, I don't need the Defenders to show up. I don't need everybody to show up to fight Thanos. You know, it would be cool. I want to see as many Avengers as they can put in a movie. It'd be cool if they teamed up with the Guardians and you throw in like Doctor Strange for good measure. It's like, all right, cool. I'm good. You know, it's like I don't need more than a dozen guys to go fight this dude. You know, if it's 30 guys, I'm going to be confused. I'm going to be like, who are all these guys? How did they all fit together?
I was just watching X-Men 3. This morning, because I hadn't seen it in a while, and I wanted to remember how bad it was.
Yeah.
As I've said on the show before, I have a problem defending bad sequels to good movies.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching X-Men 3 going, but it's Ian McKellen as Magneto.
Yeah.
Talking to Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and then Patrick Stewart as Professor X. It's got to be kind of good.
They have the right ingredients. They just made a shit sandwich.
Yeah.
You know?
But that fight at the end at Alcatraz, it's just people jumping all over
the place.
It
looks like a 90s comic.
Yeah, because there's no follow through on anything. Just people are leaping and screaming, and I don't know who's who, and I don't know where they're going. And it's going to be very easy for Avengers Infinity War to turn into that.
That's my concern is like, you know, we keep talking if this is like a bubble or if it's going to burst or at some point it can't sustain what it's doing. And I think that's kind of why they have to get this Infinity War thing over and done with sooner rather than later, because they have the chances of botching this. They've never attempted something this big before. Like I said, $1 billion budget. I could be 100% mistaken. I don't know any other movie that had a budget of $1 billion.
No, all 3 Lord of the Rings didn't have that budget.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, this will probably be one of the biggest movies anyone's ever done. It'll probably be one of the...
It'll do great.
It'll do great. The effects will be unbelievable. But it's just like, unless they can pull off balancing all these characters, this could just be a giant, you know, good-looking turd sandwich. You know what I mean?
Right, like Justice League looks like it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, oh, and speaking of Netflix, I finished Iron Fist this week.
Oh, you did stick with it. I only got to, like, episode 9. I'm going to finish it. I'm just...
You don't have to. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it. I was like... I had it on the background while a lot of things went on. I just finished 3 weeks of working straight. I worked the last 2 weekends on a big project, which fortunately was successful. But a couple of times I worked from home, and I just had it on in the background while I was working, just as noise looking up, and that's kind of how I got through it. But towards the end, I was like, well, at least it'll line up with Defenders. I'm looking forward to Defenders, so let me see how this ties in. It doesn't really.
Oh, wow.
It kind of leaves you with a cliffhanger for season two of Iron Fist.
Ugh. But none of those characters except Daredevil needs another season. You know what? It's just like, put Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and have them do the Heroes for Hire. Put the three of those characters together. Throw in Misty Knight and Colleen Wing. That's your show, the five of those characters. And then Daredevil can be its own show.
Well, honestly, you could just do Defender season two with those characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I liked Jessica Jones. I said it when it was on. I thought it was four episodes too long, but I liked it.
Yeah.
And I really like Luke Cage, but I don't know how you do that again.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't care. I like a good sequel for all, or a good series for all of them. Like I said, the Jessica Jones dragged a bit. Luke Cage, I felt like dragged a bit in parts, but they were both good. Iron Fist,
Luke Cage, I thought dragged in individual episodes, but overall, the whole story arc worked. I felt like it needed 13 episodes. Some episodes were better than others. Jessica Jones, I was like, they told the story in eight, and then they took like the three before the end and just dragged them out.
Yeah.
And repeated themselves. But yeah, Iron Fist, I mean, this guy's got no charisma. The fight scenes aren't interesting.
He just kind of seems like an idiot in the whole show. Yeah, it's like everything he does just seems stupid. You know, it's just like I'm in the part of the season where he goes with Colleen Wing and they go to like a monastery, and it turns out that they're the Hand. Spoilers, sorry, anybody.
Yeah. I don't like Colleen Wing either. I think she's dumb.
Oh, I like her, but this guy is like he's always like pouting, and he just seems kind of stupid about everything. And it's just like, I just don't care to follow.
He's like a pouty pothead.
Yeah, he's like a dummy. And it's just like, everything he does is like a stupid decision. He shows up in the first episode without shoes on, looking like a homeless person. He's like, I'm Danny Rand. You haven't seen me in 15 years. Give me a job. And it's like, take a shower first, knucklehead. It's just like, they just did so many dumb things that it's like, I have a hard time getting on the side of this guy.
And I feel like the stakes were so low. The villains weren't interesting. They were just like whiny rich people, and then they brought in the Hand, but the Hand didn't do nearly as much as they did in Daredevil.
Yeah.
And it just, I didn't care about the heroes, and I didn't care about the villains. I didn't care what was going to happen to any of them. And then I realized I'm only watching this because it's Marvel. And there was a point where I was like, this is starting to remind me of Arrow, and I don't watch Arrow for all of these reasons.
Yeah.
And honestly, I like Green Arrow as a character more than I like Iron Fist. I read the Fraction Brubaker run of Iron Fist because you lent it to me.
That's the only run I've actually ever read on Iron Fist.
No, and I've thought about picking up the Masterworks just because it's the first team.
Sabretooth?
Yeah, well, it's the first team up for Claremont and Byrne.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of Claremont and Byrne in that. They have the Epic Collection for the first Iron Fist, and they have the Epic Collection for the first Power Man Iron Fist team up, and those are good. I've read them both. They're good runs.
Is the Claremont Byrne run worth it on Iron Fist?
I don't know. I've only read a couple of the John Byrne issues of Iron Fist because they were collected in that John Byrne omnibus I got. Okay. And that's how I read the Power Man. Because
there's also a two volume Marvel Masterworks set that has from the beginning of Iron Fist, where apparently like Gil Kane does the first one. And Len Wein writes some of them, and Roy Thomas writes some, and it bounces around, and then Byrne does the end. And then the second volume is Claremont and Byrne.
Right.
But the part of the art I've seen looks great. Like, it looks as good as X-Men.
Yeah.
So it looks like
Byrne
at its
peak. At the very least, it's a great-looking book.
And honestly, I think Iron Fist has the coolest mask ever.
I think it's a great mask, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like,
which he doesn't wear once in this.
Not in the show at all, yeah.
It's a bandana. Like, you could so easily... Yeah. Daredevil came up with a reason for him to put that mask on.
Right.
Which is it's so annoying. It's like Hugh Jackman being Wolverine for 9 movies and never putting a mask on.
We see the costume in a briefcase.
In a deleted scene.
Yeah, bastards.
God damn it.
It's like Captain America not saying Avengers Assemble. It's like, I get why they're doing it. They're playing these fucking games, but it's just like, say it every movie, idiots. It's a check in a box on your list of things you have to do.
I like that he said it and they cut him off. I thought that was funny.
It's frustrating. It's like pulling the rug out from under me. You're a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, but I really did not enjoy Iron Fist. And I still hate watch Gotham. I still sleep watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm not watching Flash anymore is because they have this interconnected universe that makes me feel like I have to watch everything. It's the same reason I watched all of Iron Fist, because it's this interconnected Netflix universe.
Right.
Which ties to the movies that I see. And honestly, the problem I had with Iron Fist was, it was not what I was expecting at all. I was expecting, and I hate to give a review of something that says this is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Because that's not judging something on its own merits. That's right. Just saying
it wasn't like exactly like the thing I remembered.
Yeah, and it wasn't like exactly the thing I decided it was before I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I like it when things surprise me. I like Iron Man 3. I like the Mandarin's not the Mandarin.
I like that. I just didn't
it's
like
it's not the best Marvel movie, but
it's so Christmassy. And the director, well,
Shane Black's got a Christmas thing.
He's a weird guy. That's a weird thing to have a thing about.
Yeah. But I like that it defied my expectations where I was like, oh, I didn't know we were going here. I enjoy that. But Iron Fist, I was talking to a friend of mine about this on Facebook, and I was like, I thought Iron Fist was going to be about him coming to Kunlun and him training and him like having a rivalry with somebody else and him learning how to become the Iron Fist. And I realized, oh, Marvel just made that movie and it was Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I think we talked about this maybe last week on the show. They did take Iron Fist's origin for Doctor Strange. You know, it's like he goes to a mystical city in Asia. He learns superpowers. You know, he has to pass this trial. Then he has to fight this big bad guy. It's like, that's exactly what that Iron Fist show should have been, was him punching a dragon.
You can't do that twice in 6 months.
Right. And I think that's the problem they ran into. I just, you know, and I haven't read any of the articles. I know the actor came out and said something. I know people are complaining about like whitewashing and stuff like that. And they were complaining about it in,
and you know, like
Ghost in the Shell I just saw.
Right. I was getting into an argument about Ghost in the Shell. And I was like, well, it was anime and that character was fairly westernized looking. I also don't agree with the whitewashing of Iron Fist. Because you know what? If you want an Asian actor to be in Marvel, do Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. That character is Asian.
Yeah. I mean, he was basically, he's just like Luke Cage. He's a complete ripoff of Bruce Lee. It was as much like Bruce Lee as they can do without getting sued, just like Luke Cage was as much as like Shaft they could do without getting screwed.
Right. And they did Shang-Chi and they were like, well, let's superhero him up a bit. And then they did Iron Fist. That's its separate character. Like, I don't need Iron Fist to be Asian because you have somebody who's exactly the same who's Asian in Marvel.
Yeah, they should have just done either do Shang-Chi separately and make him a defender or just not have done Iron Fist. You know, it's like I said, I really like that run.
But they did Iron Fist because he teams up with Power Man.
I do want to see those two interacting. But like I said, I'd rather see the Heroes for Hire show than see another season of Iron Fist or see another season of Luke Cage.
Really,
it's like, I don't know that I'm going to check in for any of those second or third seasons.
And it's done really, really well. They said it's like the biggest download they've ever had. Daredevil crashed Netflix, and this is bigger. Yeah, but to be fair, each Netflix Marvel series has been bigger than the last.
Because,
you know, Daredevil, people probably took a few months to get to.
Right.
And then they realize, oh, I like Daredevil, I like Luke Cage, I like Jessica Jones, let's watch this one.
And like I said, the Defenders, I think they finished shooting. It comes out in the fall, right?
Yeah they do like a series every 6 months.
Yeah, and I'm super excited for that. I like all the guys teaming up. I like heroes interacting. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite thing in comics. So I do want to see Defenders. I'm really looking forward to it.
And then we're getting Punisher, and I want to see
that.
He is
getting his own show?
Yeah, he's getting his own show.
He was great, too. That's what I'm saying. It's like Daredevil and Punisher, I can give you, you can do 10 seasons each of Daredevil and Punisher. Grab that Garth Ennis run on Punisher. Every 6 issues is a movie practically.
Right.
They're perfect. Same thing with Daredevil. There's enough material. I just don't see second or third seasons for any of these other characters unless they're all in one show called The Defenders. You know, come up with a reason why Daredevil doesn't want to be on the team. I can't work with all these guys messing with my radar. It's the reason they gave why he never joined the Avengers, is he can't be in the same room with Thor too long because it's like it throws his radar off because Thor's heartbeat sounds like a mountain coming down, you know?
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of shows that I enjoy right now that I don't want second seasons of. And it's nice when I'm surprised. Like, Fargo is a perfect example, because I thought the first season of Fargo was fantastic. And I was like, I don't need any more of this.
Yeah.
And then they did a second season. I was like, man, I don't want to watch a second season of this. And it had people in it I didn't like. Like, Kirsten Dunst was in it.
No.
Owen Wilson was in it. No, not Owen Wilson. The guy who plays the owl in... And now I'm forgetting everything. The guy who played Night Owl, Patrick Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
In Watchmen. I hate him.
Yeah, you do.
He's aggressively bland.
Aggressively bland. For some reason, that sounds like a thing my brother would say.
but that second season was better than the first season. Ted Danson was amazing in it. Or is that the first season? But that second season was incredible. And now there's a third season with Ewan McGregor playing two roles, and I'm like, this can't possibly work.
Yeah.
But the last two worked, and they were self-contained stories. I don't always need that. And actually, that's a good segue, because the creator of Fargo, who's doing this third season, also did Legion, which finished this week.
Yeah.
Which I finished, and I think it might be the best superhero television show that's ever been made, including all these things on Netflix.
Yeah.
I've never seen something... It's so ambitious, it's so strange, it's so different, and it completely pulled me in, and at a point where I thought, it's not even about the comics at all,
yeah.
All of a sudden, it just touches the comics, and blew my mind.
Wow.
It was so interesting. Basically, the premise was, this guy, Noah Hawley, he seems to have, as a director, this ability to perfectly mimic another director.
Yeah.
Because Fargo looks exactly like the Coen brothers, and they're not involved. And it didn't feel like a ripoff of a remake of Fargo, but it felt like it lived in that universe completely, and it's somebody different doing it. Then now Legion comes along, and it's equal parts what Bryan Singer did with the X-Men, but like it looks like a Wes Anderson movie, and it feels like a Stanley Kubrick movie.
Wow.
And it's this bizarre concoction that I never know where it's going. And Renee got annoyed with it, also because she missed a few episodes.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, me neither.
Yeah. And you're like happy about it. And she's upset.
Yeah. But it is about David Haller, who they set up as David Haller, but they give no connection to anything else in any other movie.
Yeah.
And for a while you think, well, maybe they just use the name. And they play him in a way where he's way more sympathetic than in the comics. Because in the comics, it was like, oh, he's crazy. This guy's going to be trouble. And no one's ever sympathized with David Haller in the comics that I've seen.
This is the Professor X's like kid from like another dimension or something?
No, it's Professor X's like illegitimate son.
Yeah.
That he didn't know about.
And who's his mother?
His mother was, I think, Gabrielle Haller. She was a human.
Character I don't
so,
know.
So, like, okay. she was someone that, like, he met when he and Magneto, before he formed
were,
the
like,
X-Men,
running around in adventures.
Kind of like First Class.
Yeah.
It was in that era that he met her, and I think they had a one-night stand, and she had the child and didn't tell him. And then in the run of New Mutants, they find out, and he's inherited Charles's psychic powers, but he's also schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So in the comics, they're always just like, oh my God, he's scary.
Yeah, he's the most powerful mutant on the planet, and he's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Legion, you're looking at the world through his eyes, which is fascinating. He's played by Dan Stevens. He's really sympathetic, and you like him. But the thing is, he hears voices because he's psychic, and he hears voices because he's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know
the difference.
And you don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So they play with it a few times. It's like, maybe none of this is happening. Maybe he's just still... They open it in a mental institution, and Aubrey Plaza... from Parks and Rec is in it.
Yeah.
And she dies, but she comes back. And you're still kind of like, is this all happening in his mind? For episodes, you're like, he could just still be in this mental institution.
Yeah, he might have never left.
Because there are things that you see that don't happen.
Right.
And it's this psychedelic, burnt orange 70s look that it never feels like it quite settles. Although, I will say, spoilers, they do admit, towards the end of the run, that yes, he's Professor X's son.
Yeah.
And the Shadow King is the villain in it.
Do they...
So Farouk, they actually name him as Farouk.
Does this take place in the Marvel or the X-Men universe?
This takes place in the X-Men universe, and God knows what that means.
Right.
Because the X-Men universe is so fractured.
But it's like, they know about like Wolverine.
Yeah, but he's never mentioned.
Yeah.
They never mention it at all. And in fact, for the first few episodes, like he's trying to convince... psychiatrist that he has powers, and they're like, yeah, you also have delusions. And for a while, you're like, do superpowers even exist in this universe?
Right.
Until you meet other characters that have mutant powers, but you're still like, do people know that mutants exist?
Yeah, because that's a difference of the do powers exist and do people know powers exist, two different things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they do it in, they did it in Iron Fist. He mentioned something in the psychiatric institute he's in, and the doctor that's interviewing him is like, look, after that incident in New York, everyone comes in and thinks they have superpowers. Right. And I like the idea where they don't obsess over and be like, well, you know, you're not going to be Thor. I don't need them to name drop Avengers, but let's, you know, that incident, that invasion in New York would basically be like superpowered 9/11. You know, it would be something that affected everybody. They would have showed that footage repeatedly had that really happened.
Right. And Legion sidesteps all of it because it mostly takes place in a psychiatric institute and in kind of the mutant space.
Yeah.
And both of them are just way out. They look like upstate. They're in forests. They're never in a city.
Yeah.
They're very rarely around other people.
Right.
So it's pretty remote. So you don't know. And Noah Hawley said, yeah, I don't really care how it fits in. He's like, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not really looking at the comics. Although on James Corden last week, both Patrick Stewart and Dan Stevens were on at the panel at the same time. And they were talking about Logan, and he said, "Is this the?" And he asked Patrick Stewart, "Is this your final? Is this your final performance as Professor X?" And he's like, "Well, you know, when I saw the movie, I started crying, and Hugh Jackman started crying. He's like, this would be the perfect chance to leave." And then Patrick Stewart goes, "Although they are talking about Deadpool,
yeah."
And everybody applauds, and then Dan Stevens leans over, and he goes, "Well, what about Legion?" And he looks at, and he turns to the audience. He goes, I don't know if you know, but you know he plays my father. And he turns to Patrick Stewart. He goes, I'm offering you a job if you want to be in season two of Legion.
That would be amazing.
And Patrick Stewart went, oh, absolutely.
Wow.
So
that's not like...
That's people talking on a talk show.
Yeah, that's nothing confirmed, but that would be amazing if they got Patrick Stewart to show up.
Yeah, and you know, Patrick Stewart, I mean...
Started in TV,
and he still does TV. He's doing that show Blunt Talk on Showtime.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't like. I gave it a few episodes. He plays like a drug addict pundit on a news show, and I think Seth MacFarlane produces it.
Yeah.
But he's doing a show now, so he hasn't left television.
Right.
So
he's one of those guys, I think, there's no ego, I don't think, with Patrick Stewart.
No, he's a consummate actor.
I think the guy just wants to act, and he wants to act in good things. And yeah. I think he really does enjoy... You know, it's like the Picard role. He really loves that role. I think he really loves that Charles Xavier role. He likes being the Nelson Mandela type pacifist leader of this, like, you know, political movement or whatever.
It's usually pretty easy for him. He's sitting down the whole time.
Yeah.
He's not, other than Logan, he doesn't have a huge emotional range. Usually he just wheels in and he kind of smiles at everybody. He's like, oh, there's things going on you don't know. And then he wheels out of the room.
That's it. Yeah. It can't be a hard gig.
But that's the one character from the movies you would want. I don't need Hugh Jackman to show up on Legion.
No.
I don't need Ryan Reynolds to show
definitely
up.
Definitely not.
I don't want Ryan Reynolds to show up on Legion.
Yeah, and I'd say that's the thing. It's like the only character I'd prefer to see on that show, a show I'm not even watching but would love to watch, is Patrick Stewart and maybe Ian McKellen in a flashback of like the two of them being like running around. It's like just because I like them putting those two guys together on a screen. I'll never not want to see Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen just hanging out.
No, I saw them on Broadway when they did Waiting for Godot, and it was amazing. It was a level of acting. It was like going to see the Beatles. It was like a concert.
Yeah,
because their acting was so powerful together.
That's amazing.
That it was a very, very, very good decision
to go
see those guys. Yeah, but I love Legion, and I think... however you can see it, I don't know who's going to have it. Maybe, you know what? FX Now, if you have the FX Now app, which has every Simpsons, they usually have everything.
Yeah.
So if they have the whole series, absolutely watch. There's only 8 episodes.
That's what I actually like about it is if this was 24 episodes, there's no way I'd watch it. 8 episodes, anything under 15 is totally doable now. As soon as you're 24, 25 episodes, go fuck off. That's why I gave up on Flash. It's like, I like that show. I just can't watch. I don't have 24 hours to devote. It's just not going to happen. You know, there's too many... There's just too many shows and too many movies coming out, aside from all the fucking comic books I'm trying to read.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and Legion is coming back for a second season, but it was one of those things where I'm like, if they end it now, I'm happy with it. Of course, then at the end, there's a cliffhanger.
Oh, always, yeah. And then that's the problem with these shows
And
now.
I'm just like, all right, well, tell them I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed it, especially watching it alongside of Iron Fist, where I'm dragging myself through a show out of loyalty.
Yeah.
You know, loyalty to a brand, which, you know, my loyalty goes too far sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I said it about the Joker, the guy that played him last.
Jared Leto?
It's like, you're bound to get a stinker. You know, we've been saying with the Marvel movies for a while, one of them's not going to do really well. And not like Thor not really well. I think one of them at some point has to bomb. It's just like inevitable. It's math.
Yeah.
I think
well, it's like Pixar. Eventually they made Cars 2.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is this like, it'll be a sequel. You know, it just, something won't work or it'll be off a little bit. And hopefully it won't be a big movie. Hopefully it'll just be like, you know, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy 6 or something. Yeah. But it's like, I think Iron
Black
Fist.
Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that movie's good because that, I mean, I love that character. I think Iron Fist is like their first like misstep with the Netflix shows. It's like, mm-hmm. they're all mostly good, very little complaints about them. Iron Fist is the one that just, it just doesn't work as well as the other three.
Right, right. And yeah, they'll eventually get there. And that's the thing. The thing to worry about then is what happens next when something doesn't bomb, because Marvel came out this week from the comics and said, we lost money last year, and the reason we lost money is because we have too much diversity, because we have too many characters like Ms. Marvel and Riri Williams. And so they were like, we should just concentrate on our core characters, and there was a huge backlash on the internet about that.
Yeah, I don't understand. How can they cite diversity as the reason they lost money?
Because all of their new characters are diverse.
Sure, so, I mean, like, Thor's a woman, the new Iron Man's a woman, they've got the black Captain America with Falcon, but
the black girl is Iron Man.
Right, but so what are they saying? Is that, like, those book sales are down?
Yeah, book sales were down.
Yeah.
Last year.
And you know what, here's actually, I get that's what they're saying, and maybe they have a lot more, obviously they have a lot more money and experience and knowledge than me, but my thing would be, it's not the diversity, I think it's that the fucking four events a year is one too many, and fucking Solo's Iceman is getting a solo book. It's in previews this month. Like, previews came out last week. The amount of characters getting solo books is, like, stupid.
How many books is Marvel producing a month now?
I have no idea, but it's close to not quite double what I think DC's putting out, but it's, like,
it was close to 100? Is DC still sticking with that 52?
Not really. Okay. I think, but they're twice a month, which is gonna, think, isn't help doing them any favors. But I think,
and you know what? I think that twice a month is really hurting, because I noticed as I'm reading Batman and Detective, I feel like I've just gotten started on the runs, and then I looked at the issues, and they're like, they're at issue 20, and I'm like, well, but what stories have I read?
That's what I'm saying. What actual?
Like 20 issues
what's taken place.
Yeah, because 20 issues of Snyder and Capullo, I can point to like four gigantic
four
stories.
Four different stories.
And Tom King's at like issue 20, and I'm like,
nothing's happened.
It's been entertaining every month, but yeah.
It's supposed to be more than that, though.
Yeah, I feel like it's been watered down by doing it twice a month.
That's what I think happened, is I think they have so many more extra issues, so they just drag everything out.
Yeah.
But I think with the, you know, with the sales at Marvel, it's like, I don't know if I'd say it's like diversity. I think that's them not knowing what they're looking at data, and I think they're making the wrong call on what it is. I think right call is, why does Solo have his own book right now? You know, it's just like, some people don't even know who the fuck that character is. Rightfully so. He's just a nobody character.
He couldn't carry a book in the 90s.
That's what I'm saying. And Darkhawk got a fucking book in the 90s. You know what I mean? And he made it to like issue 50. Those days are over. And I don't understand why every character needs a solo book. You know, Star-Lord, Groot, Rocket Raccoon, Gamora all have their own titles right
really?
Now. Yeah, why do I have a Star-Lord book? You know, it's like, I need a Guardians of the Galaxy, sure, but them all having their own series, I think, is like, that's beyond indulgent.
Yeah, I mean, I'd sound like the old fan saying it, but I miss the days when everybody had one, because
I agree, yeah.
Like, Spider-Man was twice a month for a long time, which was a strain, and then it finally went back to once a month, but then there was a limited series you had to buy, and now it's once a month, but Spectacular is coming back.
Right.
And it's like, I would rather just read one really good core title. I would love to read one X-Men title. I haven't been able to do that in 20 years, because every time I get back into X-Men, it's usually when they make a good movie, when they make a Deadpool or a Logan,
right.
I immediately go, oh, I want to read what's going on again. And then
it's four different books.
And I can't make heads or tails of it.
And that's the thing.
Well, and this week that
X-Men Prime came out.
Yeah, and how was that? Did you read it?
So I have not read X-Men monthly since Astonishing X-Men ended. And I've tried a bunch of times.
Since Joss Whedon ended, or since the title ended? Because Warren Ellis picked it up.
When Joss Whedon left the book, I left. I did come back periodically throughout, like, Brubaker did a run. I'm rereading all the space nonsense they did, which I'm enjoying, with like Havoc and the Starjammers.
Now, there was a hardcover of that, and I passed it up.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not great. The art's a bunch of nobodies, but like, the writing's not terrible. The So I've been in and out of X-Men for a long time, but every time they relaunch it, I give it an honest go because I want to read X-Men books.
Yeah, I
tried
to pick up
when Bendis.
I wanted to pick up that book this week.
Took over the titles, and they were all terrible. Mm. Now it's like at some point, I guess they decided with after this Inhumans vs. X-Men story arc they did is that the school can't be on Earth, so they had magic put the school in limbo. Then Storm goes to Kitty Pryde and says, "I've been a terrible leader. You have to come back and lead the X-Men." So she agrees, they go back to the X-Men, and then Shadowcat or Kitty Pryde or whoever you want to call her decides, well, we can't put this school in limbo because it's basically hell. This is stupid. There's children here. So she decides to put the school in Central Park. And they're like, brilliant fucking idea, Kitty.
But they were in Westchester, an hour away from the city.
Nope. I guess now they want to be in Central Park, and they think that this will be a good place for the school, I guess.
Because Avengers Mansion will protect it.
The Avengers Mansion that no one's using anymore.
No one's in Avengers Mansion now?
No, that's another problem is the Avengers books are a mess too. In the Mark Waid Avengers book, they operate out of Parker Industries headquarters, which is the former Baxter building.
That's the one thing I'm reading, which is Spider-Man.
Yes, right. So in that book, Spider-Man joins the Avengers. He agrees to fund the Avengers. They put him in the tower in Baxter building. That's as close to acceptable for me. I'll give you that. And the other book, Uncanny Avengers, which is a book I routinely pretend does not exist, Deadpool has his own team of Avengers that he may or may not be leading. Like I said, I don't read it, so I don't know. And I think they're operating out of like a mercenary basement of Deadpool's under like a barbershop or something stupid.
You have a hard time following Deadpool. I'm reading Spider-Man Deadpool and he's married to a demon and like demons keep attacking
them.
Who
the fuck knows what's going on with that book?
And that's a problem with Marvel. Marvel more than DC. They change the status quo so heavily every year.
Yeah.
Like, so yesterday I was at Half Price Books and they had Wolverine and the X-Men's Volume 1 and 2. And everybody said when that book was coming out, which was like 2012, it was like 5 years ago, they're like, oh, yeah, it's the best X-Men book. And like I said, since I saw Logan, I'm actually going to see it again today because I love it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it was so good. And I've just been in an X-Men mood ever since I saw it. And so I picked up volumes 1 and 2 of the trades. And I was like, all right, well, I'll read this in a day. And at least I'll have read some modern X-Men that people say are good. And the first page, Logan and Professor X are walking through like this school that Logan is running. The first panel, I go, why the fuck is Professor X walking?
Yeah.
And I just don't know, like, you know.
And I would love. And
right now, Wolverine's dead, and Logan is old man Logan, come back from the future, and X-23 is Wolverine.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I don't mind X-23 is Wolverine, but I think it's like, they're, and now that's the other thing. This summer, they're going to bring back Hulk, they're going to bring back Wolverine, and they're going to bring back, like, two or three other characters. Marvel's bringing back
Where's Hulk?
They killed him in Civil War II. Hawkeye kills him.
I didn't read that.
It was awful. You know, it's just like I said. I think they're already bringing Dr. Octopus back in Spider-Man. Did you hear about
this?
Yeah,
no, it happened.
No, I know they brought him back, but it's like he's going to come back.
He's the Superior Octopus.
Right, and it's like I don't mind them bringing him back, but it's like they wrapped up his story not that long ago. Now they're bringing the Goblin back. They're doing a Norman Osborn story in Spider-Man. It's like
you know what? I give villains a little more rope because superhero stories are so based on. The villain either goes to jail or it looks like he's dead. I mean, yeah. It's so built into the genre where it's like, you thought I was dead, but here's how I got out. It's the heroes that are more annoying. The people that actually sell the book. You know, the people whose name is on the front of the book. That's what drives me crazy. Yeah, so much. And it's frustrating because I love these characters. This is why we're doing this podcast every week. I mean, this podcast is basically about superheroes. It's not about really comic books.
Yeah, we're covering so many other things now. But that's what I say. It's like the absolute focus is these characters.
Yeah.
And it's like I get they have to change. I mean, listen to the episode where we talk about Superior Spider-Man. I was all for that change. I'm all for him coming back.
And you know what? That was great from beginning to end.
It was. And I'll give Dan Slott credit. I've liked everything he's written so far on Spider-Man. I'll give it to him. I just think it's like these previews of upcoming stuff with Spider-Man, I'm always kind of like, maybe this will be the run where he needs to get off the book.
It's like the Marvel movies, because each event he does, and he started like a Norman Osborn event, the issue after the Clone Conspiracy ended.
Right.
But the pitch is always the worst sounding thing you've ever heard. It's like, I'm going to bring all the clones back, and Norman Osborn's not going to be the Green Goblin. He's going to be even scarier. And you're just like, there's no way this is going to work. And then it always works.
And he ends up pulling it off, but it's just like, I should give the guy more credit in the bank, but every time they announce a new Spider-Man story arc, I'm like, oh, this is the one where he's going to be on this book too long.
Yeah.
I feel it. Like, I'm just not going to like however this guy wraps up his end. And he does. He needs to have an ending. He needs to get off that book at some point. I just want him to get it off while it's good. Don't get it off of it while it's you're tanking it, you know?
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
All right, so this is the last 2 weeks, really. I was very fortunate enough to be able to go see two movies that I wanted to see. The first one is what I would say is my greatest thing in the world, is I saw Kong, and I was super excited for this movie. I really wanted to go see it. I went and I got to see it like last week. I had like a free night for the first time in like a billion years. And I went to go see it, and it was phenomenal. It's not like the greatest story ever, but that was just like probably my favorite movie this year. I liked it more than Logan.
Really?
Yeah, because Logan was good, but it wasn't like fun. The fun bits of Logan was him yelling at Patrick Stewart.
Logan's serious.
It's a very serious movie. This was a very fun monster movie, which is like my favorite type of movie. It was kind of like Pacific Rim, but yeah, I guess it was basically like Pacific Rim, but it takes place in like the Vietnam era.
It's got a really good cast.
It does, and every character in it that shows up is great. I don't think they give a lot for like Loki's in it. He doesn't have a lot to do, and Captain Marvel's in it. Brie Larson.
I like Brie Larson a lot.
I've never really seen her in anything, I don't think. She was in Scott Pilgrim, but I don't
know. She was. She was the drummer in Scott Pilgrim, so she looked totally different.
She was like 14 or 16. Yeah,
she had a wig on. She did a few episodes of Community, and she was really, really good in those.
I think I missed those. She was dating
Abed.
No, I definitely missed
and
those.
And then and there was an episode with Brie Larson and Allison Brie, and as close as their names are, it's just enjoyable to look at both of them at the same time.
Well, it's like the two of them don't really have much to do in the movie, but like Sam Jackson's great in it, and John C. O'Reilly like steals that movie. He's phenomenal in it. But yeah, that's the movie I really recommend to go see. Is like, if you want like a good fun movie, I highly recommend it. I also got to see Ghost in the Shell. I saw it Friday night, so maybe 2 days ago, or maybe that was yesterday. I don't know, but I saw Ghost in the Shell, and I never read that comic book, and I never watched the manga, so I have no idea.
I saw the anime.
Or the anime, that's what I mean. So I have no idea how it measures up against that. I know they copied a lot of shots frame for frame because a buddy of mine saw it, and that's what he was saying. But that was probably visually the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was just super, super well done. They showed these like sweeping shots of like this future city with like what billboards might look like. And it was like, we talked about it a little bit on Logan, where we're like, yeah, the thing with the trucks, the self-driving trucks in Wolverine, it's like the thing that's makes you believe it's in the future, a believable future. It's not, they don't get silly with technology.
Right.
And it was the same thing with these like floating billboards they had in this movie, where it's like these giant holograms. It like looked astonishing. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know that I necessarily understood that movie. I missed a lot of it. I definitely have to see it again. But visually, that was probably one of the coolest movies I've ever seen, was Ghost in the Shell. I just was like blown away. There's a fight with her and she's half invisible and she's like fighting a guy in a shallow like water thing, ankle deep water. And like just the splashing of the water and like bouncing off of an invisible person, it's like whoever did the visuals in that movie knocked it out of the park. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything since Logan, and I'm actually going to see Logan again.
Yeah, so that's the problem. It's like, I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast yet. I wanted to see that still. I heard that was great.
He has a lot out.
Yeah.
I actually don't have a greatest thing in the world this week, but I do have an announcement. Found out this week through J.M. DeMatteis, who has been on the show several times, that Peter David needs help. If you don't know who Peter David is, he wrote The Hulk for 15 years. He wrote X-Factor for 10 years. He wrote some really incredible runs in Spider-Man, including like The Death of Jean DeWolf. He's written a series of Star Trek books called New Frontier. He's done it all, and he's been a legend in the industry.
Did Peter David do She-Hulk run too?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And a few people have done one. John Byrne's done one. Dan Slott's done one.
Right, yeah. I mean, Peter David, like I said, he did all the Spider-Man 2099 as him.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's great.
He was doing the new series recently. Yeah. But he needs your help. He's having a lot of problems with his taxes. As he described it on his website, he had a show called Space Cases in the mid-90s. It lasted one season. And he said it was the most money he made that year. And when he tried to pay the taxes on it, his wife had taken the money and hired a divorce lawyer with that. So yeah. He's been trying to pay it off over the years. Now the government wants all of it, and it's $88,000.
Jesus.
So there's a GoFundMe on, and we'll provide a link to it. So he's just outright asking for help. So, you know, there's no incentives. There's no Kickstarter. There's no rewards. He said if you want to mail him some of your books, he'll sign them and mail them back.
Yeah.
But anything set in place like a charity organization.
Yeah, I guess people always kind of assume, oh, you write comic books and they make movies out of comic books. You must have a bajillion dollars. None of these guys writing comic. Mark Waid isn't filthy rich.
Right.
He's famous, sure, but the guy's not rich. You know what I mean? It's just like he's...
And we're in an age where rich and famous don't really go together.
Right.
So if you can help him, if you care about Peter David's work, and he's done some really, really great work over the years, we'll provide the link on our Facebook page, or look for GoFundMe, or go to peterdavid.net, where he has a link on his own, and we'll keep you apprised of the situation. But yeah, it's true. You know, a lot of these guys, you live a freelance lifestyle.
Yeah.
We were talking about Bernie Wrightson last week.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
It's like you're susceptible to every and all pitfalls.
Right. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, where I will be relinking Peter David's GoFundMe, I am at Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed, because I feel like I don't have enough followers. And if I start a podcast feed, I'll just cannibalize myself. Can't handle it. So you can also go to facebook.com/caffeinatedcomics, where we post all the news, including things like the Joss Whedon announcement for Batgirl and the Spider-Man trailer and the Justice League trailer. That's where you'll find everything that's going on in the world of geek. And Steven?
You can find me at 19 South LaGrange Road at Camaras Comics in the
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!